and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron. Gene will not be joining us today.
Today we're talking about, or we're taking on a topic that affects millions of families but is still widely misunderstood, dementia. This episode is called The Various Types of Dementia, and we're going to talk about Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, dementia with Lewy bodies, frontotemporal dementia, and a newer entity called LATE, L-A-T-E, and some conditions that can mimic or cause dementia-like symptoms, including HIV-related dementia.
Let's start by clearing up a common confusion. People often use Alzheimer's and dementia like they're the same. Actually, they are not.
Right. Dementia is an umbrella term for a set of symptoms, things like memory loss, trouble with thinking, language problems, and changes in behavior that interfere with everyday life. Under that umbrella, there are many diseases, which I mentioned earlier, that can cause dementia. Alzheimer's disease is the most common, but it's just one type.
Right. Different types of dementia affect different parts of the brain and different functions first. That's why two people with dementia can look very different. One might mainly have memory issues, whereas another one might have big personality changes, and somebody else might have movement problems or even hallucinations.
Well, let's start with the one that most people have heard of, which is Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, so Alzheimer's, it's the most common cause of dementia, especially in people who are over the age of 65. In Alzheimer's, abnormal proteins called amyloid plaques and tau tangles build up in the brain, and that starts in areas that are important for memory, and they spread over time.
Early symptoms often include difficulty remembering recent events or conversations, repeating questions, misplacing things, and trouble managing finances or complex tasks. As the disease progresses, people can develop problems with language, recognition, navigation, like driving, getting lost, and eventually basic self-care.
Right, and it's important to know that Alzheimer's often begins years before symptoms show up. It can sometimes occur in people in their 50s or even in their 40s, though late onset after 65 is most common.
The second common, most common type is usually vascular dementia.
And vascular dementia is caused by reduced blood flow to parts of the brain due to strokes, small vessel disease, or other vascular problems. Instead of mainly memory problems at first, people may have slower thinking, trouble with planning or organizing. They might have trouble with their gait or balance, and even emotional changes.
Sometimes it comes on suddenly after a noticeable stroke. Other times, it's more gradual due to many small, often called silent strokes, or chronic vessel damage.
Because it is tied to blood vessels that control blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, and smoking is a key part of lowering risk and managing progression.
Right. So if you're a smoker, you should cut back. If you have high blood pressure, you should see your doctor and have that treated. If you have high cholesterol or diabetes, again, see your doctors and have that treated, because those were all, they were all lower the risk of progression of vascular dementia. Another important type is dementia with Lewy bodies, often shortened to DLB.
And DLB is linked to abnormal clumps of a protein called alpha-synuclein?
Synuclein? We'll have it on our website.
Called Lewy bodies, and that's in the brain. And typical features of Lewy body include fluctuating attention and alertness. They may have good days or bad days. Detailed visual hallucinations, which seeing things that may or may not be there. And then also Parkinson's-like movement symptoms. Slowlessness, stiffness, and tremors. And also very vivid dreams or acting out dreams in their sleep.
Well, one tricky thing is that people with Lewy body dementia can be very sensitive to certain antipsychotic medications, which can make the symptoms worse. So an accurate diagnosis really matters for safety.
Let's now talk about frontotemporal dementia, or FTD.
Well, FTD is what my oldest brother had before he passed. And it affects the frontal and temporal lobes of the brain. Temporal are on the side of your head by your ears, and the frontal is by your forehead. The regions that help control personality, behavior, language, and judgment. Unlike Alzheimer's, FTD often shows up earlier, sometimes in people in their 40s, 50s, or early 60s.
There are a few main FTD presentations. There is behavioral variant FTD, where someone's personality and behavior change. People may become disinhibited, apathetic, or act in a socially inappropriate ways. There's primary progressive aphasia, where the main problem is with language, finding words, understanding speech, or producing fluid sentences. Unlike Alzheimer's, memory may be relatively preserved early on, while behavior or language changes are more striking.
Right. Now let's talk about this new one. It's abbreviated to be the word LATE, L-A-T-E. It's limbic, predominant, age-related, and it's got the initials TDP-43 encephalopathy, which is a mouthful, but an important concept.
So just remember LATE, L-A-T-E. It is recently characterized type of dementia that tends to show up in very old adults, often over the age of 80. It's associated with abnormal deposits of a protein called TDP-43 in limbic regions of the brain. And those are areas like the hippocampus and amygdala.
That's in the middle.
The hippocampus and the amygdala, and they are crucial for memory and emotion.
From the outside, LATE can look a lot like Alzheimer's, especially in the early stages. There are problems with episodic memory, remembering recent events, conversations, and facts. There's also repeating questions, trouble finding words, and some reports suggest LATE may have a slower rate of decline than typical Alzheimer's on its own, and it tends to appear later in life.
The challenge is that many very old adults with dementia actually have multiple pathologies at the same time. For example, Alzheimer's changes, LATE, LATE changes, vascular damage, and sometimes Lewy bodies also. There have been studies that found that a substantial proportion of people with advanced Alzheimer's also have LATE-related changes, and the combination can lead to more severe symptoms, including higher likelihood of psychosis or incontinence.
Well, right now, LATE is mostly identified at autopsy, but Alzheimer's also. Not in everyday, Alzheimer's, you could get a PET scan. All right. Not in everyday clinical practice, because we don't yet have widely available scans or blood tests that can clearly separate it from Alzheimer's during life.
We have an expert here with us who's just listening, and she's shaking her head. So I think you were right on task, Lita.
Oh, she wasn't shaking her head, no?
No, she was shaking her head, yes. And our expert here is none other than Jenny Stoner.
Hi, Jenny. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I actually just wanted to interject something else that can contribute to dementia, if I may, and that is sleep apnea. And I don't know if you're going to talk about that, but the reason I know it is because I have sleep apnea. And I was using my CPAP and saw the doctor yearly, and the usage was lower than he would like to see. And I said, well, you know, sometimes I just get irritated, and in the middle of the night, I see that I've used it 4 hours and I just pull it off.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the issue is more serious than you realize, because with sleep apnea, you're not getting the oxygen to the brain, which contributes then to developing, I don't know what
the
type,
plaques.
But developing, developing some kind of dementia related to not getting the oxygen.
Right. Okay.
I have a CPAP machine and I don't use it.
Well, I would think about that.
We'll take care of you.
Yeah. So let me just interject one more thing. Again, this is Jenny, and most of our listeners probably don't know this, but Lita and I were in grad school together, and Jenny was our advisor back in grad school. So we are honored to have her here today.
My honor. Thank you.
And because we also didn't mention, we're not mentioning in this script, that PTSD or complex PTSD specifically can also come out as dementia. Because I was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's 10 years ago, but because I have not regressed appropriately, as Alzheimer's patients do, they said, okay, it's not Alzheimer's, even though I had plaques at the time, not Alzheimer's, but I had a 6-hour test by a neuropsychiatrist. And she said, nope, you have complex PTSD amnesia, which is a type of dementia, because you are trying to block out so many things in your past that you're not allowing input of other memories, because you're constantly trying to block out memories. I'll take it.
Yeah.
You don't die of that. You just have memory problems.
I think the older you get, I think, you know, we all in life have stuff like that that we try to forget, especially if it's very traumatic.
Right.
Which really goes back to the focus of your roundtable, which is important to get the diagnosis.
The right diagnosis.
Yeah,
because,
it's so important.
Right. I mean, you know, you could take Alzheimer's medicine all day long and it's not going to do anything for you. It might have bad side effects. Well, complex PTSD, all I have to do is talk to my counselor every week, and I do, and hope that we can battle through it, and maybe I'll have a couple of memories. I have one memory of my sound engineer over here as a child when we went to a petting zoo in the Florida Keys, and we were in a lake, and the dolphin came to swim with us, and he had the biggest grin on his face that I was like, I'd never seen such a happy kid. And that memory is in my head. And every time I think of it, I get excited. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I love memories. Memories are so cool. Anyway, getting back to the script. Understanding late helps explain why some very late life memory problems don't perfectly fit the typical Alzheimer's pattern, and it may guide future targeted treatments.
Before we actually move on, let's talk about conditions that can look like dementia, but are sometimes reversible, especially in older adults.
Now, watch, we'll talk about what I just said, even though I said it's not in here, even though I wrote the script, because I don't remember writing the script. All right, exactly. Things like infections, vitamin B12 deficiency, thyroid problems, severe depression, and normal pressure hydrocephalus can all cause thinking and behavior to change in ways that look like dementia. There is also delirium. It's a sudden change in thinking and awareness, often triggered by illness, surgery, new medications, or hospitalization. It can cause confusion, disorientation, memory problems, and even hallucinations.
And medications are a big one, especially in older adults. Drugs with why are you giving me these big words?
Drugs
with anticholinergic.
Okay,
effects.
That sounds good.
I need help with that. Some sleep aids, benzodiazepines.
You got that one.
You're putting me to the test. And also narcotic pain medications, they can all increase the risk of delirium and make someone seem like they've suddenly developed dementia. And one, let's not forget, dehydration or electrolyte imbalance, like from an infection, hot weather, not drinking enough water, that can dramatically worsen thinking and awareness, especially in people who already have some cognitive vulnerability.
That's important to know for people that are unhoused, living in really hot areas like Phoenix. They may exhibit delirium, mm-hmm. and people may inappropriately say, oh, they're on drugs or something, when actually it's the heat
right.
and the dehydration that are affecting their electrolyte balance in their body. So don't rush to judge people.
You talked about infection, too. Like, one of the most common is a UTI, and it mm-hmm. seems like
yes.
that's often
yes, especially in women.
Yes. And anemia. Anemia, I think.
Oh, I got double whammy.
Yes. Will manifest in dementia in older people before others.
I mean, I have horrible anemia because my body no longer absorbs iron. Well, anyway, we'll have another episode on Lita coming
older,
up. Yeah,
right? The joys of getting older?
Yeah.
That should be a topic of discussion one day.
The joys of getting older?
Yes.
You're being sarcastic?
A little bit.
Okay.
There are joys in
there
it,
are.
But there are things, and all kidding aside, I mean, this is stuff that happens with age.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Right. Things start breaking down. The key difference is that delirium and these reversible conditions often come on quickly over hours or days and can improve when the underlying problem is treated. So if someone suddenly seems much more confused than usual, that's a medical emergency, not just aging. They should be evaluated for infections, medication side effects, dehydration, and other triggers.
Earlier, we also mentioned that infections can cause dementia-like problems. One important example of this is HIV-related cognitive impairment.
Yes. The term you'll often see is HIV-associated neurocognitive disorder, or HAND, H-A-N-D. It's a spectrum that ranges from milder thinking and memory changes to a more severe form historically called HIV-associated dementia, or AIDS dementia complex.
In more severe HIV-associated dementia, people can have problems with memory and attention, slowness in thinking, motor changes, like trouble walking or poor coordination, and also speech and behavior changes. It is linked to HIV-related inflammation and damage in the brain, especially when the virus is not well controlled.
Well, since modern antiretroviral therapy, severe HIV-associated dementia is less common, but milder forms of HAND still affect a noticeable number of people with HIV. So if someone living with HIV starts having new memory or thinking problems, it's important to talk with their HIV specialist or neurologist. Sometimes adjusting treatment, addressing other infections, or managing cardiovascular risks can help.
Okay, so we've covered the big four, plus late and some mimics, But here are other causes of dementia too.
Yes, there are more than 100 different conditions that can lead to dementia-like symptoms. Some examples include, well, we mentioned this before, normal pressure hydrocephalus. That's when you get pressure built up in the brain. Alcohol-related dementia, some autoimmune brain diseases, dementia related to Parkinson's disease or Huntington's disease, and many older adults don't just have one cause, like you were saying. They have mixed dementia, like Alzheimer's plus vascular changes or Alzheimer's plus late, which can make symptoms more severe and the course more complicated.
Okay, explain something here. Why does it matter which type of dementia someone has? In the end, isn't the result the same?
Well, like Jenny was saying, it matters for several reasons. The one that Jenny talked about was treatment focus, right? What you're going to take or give for symptoms, but also safety. People with Lewy body dementia can react badly to antipsychotic meds. People with normal pressure hydrocephalus might improve with shunt surgery, and that's the only dementia that's improved with that. Alzheimer's drugs may help some symptoms in Alzheimer's or mixed dementia, but they're less helpful in FTD. Also, another reason for knowing what kind of dementia someone has, family planning, genetics. Some dementias, like certain FTDs, have stronger genetic components, which families may want to know. And even when the exact label doesn't change the medication, it can change expectations and support. Knowing that very late life memory loss might involve late, which we talked about, for example, reminds us that decline may be slower than classic Alzheimer's in some cases. People may have prominent word finding and memory issues, but relatively fewer early problems like planning or their personality. And that can help families understand what they're seeing in their patient or in their family member.
Gotcha. So if a listener is worried about themselves or a loved one, what are some key or basic questions that they can ask the doctor?
I like it when we throw those in at the end. You might ask, do you have a sense of what type of dementia this might be? And what makes you think that? Could there be more than one cause, for example, Alzheimer's plus vascular changes? Are there any reversible contributors that we should check on, like vitamin deficiencies, thyroid problems, medication side effects, infections, or depression? And also, would brain imaging or referral to a memory clinic help clarify the picture?
Those are good questions. So if you're caring for someone over 80 with memory problems and a past diagnosis of Alzheimer's, you might also ask, could something like late be part of this? And does that change how we should think about progression care? Clinicians may not have a definitive answer yet, but it does open the door to a more nuanced discussion.
Well, we hope this episode helped you see that dementia isn't one single disease, but a group of conditions, including Alzheimer's, vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, frontotemporal dementia, newer concepts like late, and dementia related to conditions like HIV, each with its own pattern and challenges.
So if you or a loved one are noticing changes in memory, thinking, or behavior, don't just write it off as getting older. An evaluation can sometimes uncover treatable causes, clarify what's going on, and connect with your support earlier than later.
Right. Sooner that you get treated, the better.
Gotcha.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.